Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylow's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only 6/19 through 6/25. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
What's the craziest story you could only confess anonymously? Story one. I was at a party once where a group of girls got their boyfriends to make fun of a guy for having a small banana. I learned later that the guy being made fun of had lost his virginity to one of the girls. Anyway, the group made fun of him until he left. I followed him out, told him I was furious about how he was treated, and asked for a ride home. He agreed to take me. We got to my place, and I told him that he could come up if he wanted. He hesitated but agreed. I told him that the reason I wanted him to bring me home was so I could be with him. He absolutely did not believe me. I undressed and told him he could follow me into my room or leave. When he came into my room, we did the usual stuff: kissing, touching, etc. Once I got his pants off, I made sure to bring my A game when it came to using my mouth. I asked him what position he preferred. He let me choose, so I stayed on top until he finished. I went down on him again right after. He didn't finish that time, but he was appreciative. The next day we ended up being together 5 to 6 more times. He left that night absolutely beaming. I saw him again like 4 months later, and he told me he had a steady girlfriend and thanked me for giving him some confidence. It made me feel really good, actually. I think of him fondly, and when I found this sub, I thought I'd tell my story. Story 2. I work as a flight attendant, and during flights I meet all kinds of people. Some make inappropriate comments, offer money, or even ask how much it would cost to be intimate in the airplane restroom. Yes, I enjoy physical connection. It's a personal interest of mine, but I never allow myself to mix work with such things. Many passengers try to arrange meetings after the flight. They try to get my phone number or social media, and some even secretly take photos. Once, a much older couple from China seriously offered me $10,000 to spend a night with them. I've been intimate on planes before, but only as a passenger. A couple of times it was with former partners, and once with my husband, but never while working. When I'm on duty, those activities are completely off limits, though that doesn't stop me from thinking about it. Sometimes, just for fun, I'll go an entire flight without wearing underwear. Once I left my undergarment on a seat where a passenger was sleeping in the last row. It was funny to watch him look around, trying to figure out who had left that little surprise. I've even worked a few flights wearing a small accessory just for myself. As soon as I leave the airport, I go back to being just a regular person. Still, plenty of men try to befriend me, offer to take me to dinner, or at least walk me to the hotel. Everyone seems fascinated by the uniform. It's like the moment I put it on, I become some kind of fantasy figure. Honestly, I enjoy that a little. Being physically intimate in an airplane restroom is actually very uncomfortable, and really only works in one position, standing, with one person behind the other. Many passengers think they're being sneaky, but believe me, we notice everything. We just don't make a fuss. For those curious about trying it, here are a few tips. Avoid using the changing table, as it won't support any weight and will likely break. It's better for the woman to wear something short and loose. Take off any undergarments before entering the restroom and bring wet wipes. The most efficient way is for her to face the mirror, lean on the sink, and keep her balance. Be cautious. Don't press your face against the walls or mirror, especially if turbulence hits. It's safer if the man enters the restroom first. Passengers won't pay much attention. If a woman goes first, people, especially men, might notice and watch for her return. So the man should go in first, then the woman, and after you're done, the man should exit first, followed a few minutes later by the woman. Many people try things in the back seats during night flights. We know, and we see it all, there are night vision cameras throughout the cabin. But being intimate in a plane seat is very awkward, so a more subtle approach, like using hands or discreet gestures, is more realistic. Sometimes I just need to unwind mid-flight. When all passengers have eaten and trash has been cleared, I may take a few moments alone in the restroom to relax. I don't like sitting on the toilet, so I'll stand, lifting my skirt, lowering my tights and underwear, and simply taking a quiet moment for myself. I never use any products, just natural methods. And of course, I'm always careful to keep my uniform neat and presentable. Story 3. Backstory. So I'm a bit older now, and this happened when we were both 19 a few years ago. It was during the summer just before my second year of college. I was single and had never had any intimate experience before. Actually, I was kind of awkward and always focused on getting the best grades in school, so I usually sat alone in the front row. The only people I was close to were my teammates at the local athletics club where I competed in long and triple jump. Quite unexpectedly, a new girl from another school joined one of my classes, and from the moment I saw her, I knew there was something special about her. She had this vibrant and enthusiastic yet relaxed spirit. Fortunately, the seat next to me was the only one left, and that eventually led to us becoming great friends quickly. After about a month of getting to know each other, I realized I really liked her. I knew I wanted us to be more than friends, and since I'm pretty impatient, I told her right away, and she turned me down. We agreed to remain friends, though, and I respected her decision. By the end of the school year, we had become best friends. By then, summer break had started, and it had been about a month since I'd last seen her, since travel between us was tricky. We still talked through voice chat almost every day and played video games in the evenings. I mentioned to her that my mom was away on a business trip, and I'd have the house to myself for a few days. After hearing that, she thought it'd be fun to come for a sleepover, so we made it happen. She was due to arrive at 11 a.m. at the train station, which was about a 30-minute walk from my house. Now, I haven't said this yet, but she was absolutely stunning, the kind of girl who doesn't even realize how beautiful she is. When she stepped off the train in her summer outfit, I was completely stunned. I don't think she noticed how flustered I got. She just ran up and hugged me, which made me even more embarrassed. It was an unusually early time for her to be up, and during the walk back, she realized she had forgotten her swimsuit and only had regular underwear. We still went to the beach, but it meant no swimming. Even so, we had a great day and ended it with dinner at a beachside restaurant. As we were about to head back, she asked if we could stay a bit longer on the beach. By then it was empty and the sky had darkened, though the air was still warm. We laid our towels side by side and stared up at the stars. Falling stars are actually more common when there's no light pollution, and we saw two or three that night. Eventually, she thanked me for being such a good friend and told me how special the day had been for her. It felt like our bond had deepened. Then she sat up on her towel, hugged her knees, and looked out at the sea. She sighed and said she regretted forgetting her swimsuit. I suggested, "Well, no one's around. I'll close my eyes if you want to take a quick dip in your underwear. You can rinse and dry your clothes once we get home." She smiled and replied, "That sounds awesome, but only if you come with me." I didn't expect her to say that. She started undressing down to her underwear, and I turned away to give her privacy, though I was definitely tempted to peek. After swimming for a while, she got cold and walked back. I accidentally glanced at her from behind, and she caught me. She smiled but acted like she didn't notice. When we got home, we both rinsed off and got ready for bed. She was going to sleep in my bed, and I would sleep on the floor. Around 1 a.m., after the lights were off, she peeked over the bed and teased, "I saw you checking me out after our swim." I apologized, saying I didn't mean to make her uncomfortable. She laid back and after a moment said, "I don't know if it's too late to say this, but after you told me you liked me, I realized I liked you too. I was just too shy to say it then. I don't even know if you still feel the same." I told her I did. She sat up and asked, "So, what do we do about this?" I suggested, maybe we should be more than friends. She smiled and said, wait, that would make me your first girlfriend, right? I nodded. I found out she had gone through a breakup not long after I first confessed my feelings. She got quiet, and I could hear her moving on the bed. She teasingly threw her shorts at me and said, maybe I could teach you a thing or two. I stood up and asked if I could pull back the sheets. She was wearing just her underwear, socks, and one of my oversized t-shirts. I was clueless about what to do, so I followed her lead. She was sitting on the bed with her legs crossed, and I gently stretched them out. Sitting between them on my knees, I noticed how shy she became. Her shirt clearly showed she wasn't wearing a bra, and I could see the soft outline of her peach. She looked down and asked me to start by kissing her. I put my hands behind her head and kissed her gently, running my fingers through her hair. She laid down and asked me to slide one of my legs between hers. I kissed her neck, and her reaction told me how sensitive she was there. The more I kissed, the more she relaxed, and soon she started grinding against my leg. I slowly removed her shirt and kissed around her chest. When I touched the tip of her breast with my tongue, she let out a soft sound. I slid my hand to her hips and she lifted herself so I could remove her underwear. There were fine strands of clear moisture as I pulled them away. Unsure of what to do, she gently guided me to press lightly with my fingers in small circles near the top of her peach. Her shyness had faded as she let her...
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Body respond. She moaned, moved with the rhythm, and gave me sweet, innocent looks. Just before she reached her peak, she touched the bulge in my shorts, placed her hand on it, and said she wanted us to finish together. She pulled down my shorts and held my banana softly, a feeling like nothing I'd known before. We looked into each other's eyes while I continued stimulating her. I realized I had fallen in love with my best friend, and in that moment, I saw joy and longing in her face. Her expression changed as she got closer, and I sped up my motions, prompting her to grip me tighter. She closed her eyes, wrapped her legs around me, and let out a wave of bliss, holding me as I reached my own release, both of us feeling something we'd never forget. Story 4. So, I have a bit of a personal habit. I wear a remote-controlled ring to class and subtly tease myself during lessons, especially when I'm in front of my incredibly attractive teacher, Miss K. She's a tall, slim blonde woman with stunning legs, always wrapped in black nylon tights, paired with sleek stiletto heels and a skirt that barely reached mid-thigh. Safe to say, she was the crush of many students at school, guys and girls alike. One day during class, my device disconnected. I went to reconnect it manually, and to my surprise, I discovered a second device available to connect to. The name displayed was Miss K's Toy. My heart started racing. Could it really be hers? I connected to it, and a control panel appeared, complete with a purple bar signaling the device was ready. Cautiously, I hovered my finger over the control slider and nudged it up just a bit. I watched as Miss K paused while writing on the board. I immediately shut it off, hoping she wouldn't realize anything. After a moment, I tried again on a low setting. She continued writing, but I knew there was a buzz quietly happening that only she could feel. Throughout the lesson, I played with the power settings, just like I did with my own. Remarkably, Miss K managed to keep a calm and professional expression, continuing to teach like nothing was happening. I started thinking, this might be my one and only chance to do something like this, so I decided to push the limit just a little more. When Miss K walked to her desk, I turned the device to full power. She suddenly stumbled and leaned against the board, whispering something I couldn't hear but clearly reacting. I quickly lowered the power, letting her sit down, then turned it high again just as she settled in. She jerked forward and covered her mouth. A student asked if she was all right, to which she calmly replied that she had the hiccups and asked everyone to keep working. Disappointed that she was now seated, hiding her reactions more easily, I lowered the power and left it running. Hoping to encourage her to stand again, I enabled the looping feature. It began cycling from low to high, causing her to jump slightly in her chair. I then raised my hand and asked for help with a question. As she leaned over her desk to get up, I sent a jolt of high power. She made her way to my desk, and while standing beside me, I could tell from her subtle movements that the device was still active. Her legs seemed to bend slightly every time it pulsed. I was definitely nervous about how obvious my own reaction might be. She finished helping me and returned to her desk. I continued using the loop at a lower range, keeping it just enough to tease her while making sure it wouldn't be overwhelming. Toward the end of the class, Miss K stood up again to write on the board. Thinking it would be my last chance, I ramped up the power briefly, then quickly back down, but forgot the loop was still running. The device began pulsing from low to high rapidly. Miss K leaned on the board, one hand covering her mouth, clearly trying to stay composed. Realizing my mistake, I shut it off. But by then, it was too late. It was clear something had happened. Knowing she'd be extra sensitive now, I sent a few brief high pulses as she continued writing. One made her slip just slightly. Before class ended, I changed the name of her connected device to Have Fun, Miss K. Story 5. I don't tell this story often because I really don't like the other person involved, but I ran into her at the mall the other day, and it was so awkward. So I guess now's a good time to finally get this off my chest. I think this happened about 3 years ago. I was still in college on summer break, and during the last week before classes started, I was at my best friend's place where she was throwing a small party. We were all catching up and having drinks. Then she showed up, and my mood instantly dropped. I don't even know how to describe her. She was the type who always looked polished and intense, always talking about her internships, always needing the last word. But what annoyed me most was how she constantly complained about her boyfriend, his style, his personality, how he treated her. But when anyone suggested she break up with him, she'd go, "But we're in love." And to top it off, half of our friend group were queer, and when she'd complain about her boyfriend, she'd hang on to one of us, usually me, and say stuff like, "I wish I was into girls like you. You all have it so easy. I'm bi, and let me tell you, no, it's not always easy." And she'd always backtrack, "I'm not actually into girls, though." Okay, girl. Anyway, that night, same story. I was enjoying myself, sipping wine and relaxing, when she plopped down next to me on the couch. She was buzzed, cheeks pink, hair a bit messy. She shouted my name and awkwardly hugged me like we were besties. "I haven't seen you in forever. You look so good." "Ha ha ha, I know," I replied, trying to pull away as my friends watched and giggled. She had a pretty face. Can't lie, but that was about it. "You guess, oh my God, you're so funny," she said, slapping my arm. "How are you these days? Still dating that one girl? You mean that spring break hookup?" "Nah, I'm just kind of seeing where life takes me," I said, already regretting the conversation. She stared at me like casual relationships were alien to her. This is why I wish I were into girls. So much less drama. I excused myself to go to the bathroom, but really just retreated to the guest room where I was staying the night. I flopped onto the bed, annoyed I didn't bring the wine with me. Then the door opened, and it wasn't my friend coming to check on me. It was her. Before I could say anything, she climbed onto the bed and awkwardly tried to kiss me. It was all over the place, noses bumping, lips missing entirely. After a moment of stunned silence, I pushed her back and asked, "What are you doing?" I thought she was super drunk, but her eyes were clear and I didn't smell alcohol. "Please be with me," she said, whispering the words like she was embarrassed. "What about your boyfriend?" "We broke up," she said, "a week ago. He said I was a lot. I don't know, I feel weird. Can you just help me feel better?" I was confused. This was someone I didn't even like very much, yet here she was, being open, vulnerable, and clearly overwhelmed. She lifted her shirt, revealing she wasn't wearing a bra. I stared for a moment. She really did have a stunning body. I still had wine in my system and, well, I gave in. We ended up fooling around, and she was surprisingly responsive, even shy. I was careful and took the lead, trying to make her feel safe and wanted in that moment. It was intense and passionate in a way I didn't expect. For someone who always had so much to say, she was now quiet, just reacting, breathing heavily, and holding on to me like I was the only person that mattered. When it was over, we both lay there in silence. She was still trembling a little as she pulled her clothes back on. I passed out and woke up to my best friend yelling at me to clean the guest room sheets. Fast forward to just a few days ago. I was home for the holidays and ran into her at the mall, of all places. It was awkward small talk for sure, but then a woman walked up beside her, wrapped an arm around her and asked, "Who's this babe? A friend of yours?" That's when I noticed the matching rings on their fingers. Oh my God, I made some polite conversation and then quickly walked away to text all my friends. Now that I'm writing this out, I finally understand why she was clinging to me back then. Good for her, honestly. Story 6. I had a pretty wild experience back in college that I don't tell many people about. Let's just say it involved a mix-up I never expected, and it still makes me laugh and cringe to this day. At the time, I was dating someone who confided in me about one of his fantasies. He said he had always been curious about trying out something involving anonymous intimacy, specifically a setup where there's a barrier between two people and only physical interaction occurs. He'd been thinking about creating one in his own apartment, but building it turned out to be way too expensive. You know how it is being broke in college. So he found out that a certain kind of adult arcade a few hours away had setups like that already in place. I wasn't sure at first. The whole thing sounded intimidating, and the idea of going to a place like that made me nervous. But after a few weeks and some convincing, I told him I'd give it a try. We picked a Saturday evening and made the drive. There was a bar nearby, and I insisted we stop there first so I could get a couple shots in to calm my nerves. I went with Fireball because, well, college. I'd already agreed the plan would be simple. I'd meet him in the booth next to his, and we'd just go from there. After a couple drinks, I was feeling warm and bold. We left the bar and parked in front of the small, somewhat run-down arcade. My nerves flared again, but I pushed them down and walked in like I knew what I was doing. After some wandering, we found a hallway with small private booths. We entered one together, watched a bit of video, made out a little, and I felt myself getting into it. But then nature called, and I realized I really needed to use the restroom. I told him I'd run to the bathroom quickly and then meet him in the booth next door. The bathroom, of course, was on the far side of the building, and it took longer than I expected to find it. When I came back, a little tipsy and more than ready to continue, I went into what I thought was the right booth next to his. Feeling bold, I leaned in toward the opening and said, "I'm ready if you are." I heard the sound of a belt being unbuckled, which was the cue I needed. Then, something unexpected happened. A very large banana came through the opening. And I mean, this thing was on another level. My boyfriend was certainly well endowed, but this was not the same size. I blinked, confused, thinking maybe he had arranged a surprise. But why would he? Still unsure, I called out his name and got no answer. I just stared, my mind not processing fast enough, and felt a surge of curiosity. It was right there. I was already in the mood. The moment took over. I leaned forward and started using my mouth. The size made it a challenge, but I did my best and got lost in the moment. Whoever was on the other side clearly appreciated it. After a few minutes, he was breathing heavily, and eventually, well, let's just say I got my answer that this wasn't a drill. After he left, I sat there stunned. I had just, well, you get it. I texted my boyfriend to come out and meet me in the hallway. When I saw him, I explained I'd gotten turned around and gone into the wrong booth. He laughed harder than I expected. Honestly, I think he was just glad I still showed up for the experience. So after that mix-up, I went into the actual booth next to him and followed through with our original plan. And yes, I triple-checked that time to make sure it was the right one. Story 7. So, a bit of background. When I was a kid, I had a friend across the street named Jonathan. His mom was young, had him around 18, but she and my mom got along well, so they were over at our house often. Jonathan and I would play while our moms chatted. I remember once telling her she was really pretty. I must have been about 6 or 7. Eventually, they moved. Jonathan and I stayed friends and still saw each other at school, but I never saw his mom again. Fast forward about 16 years to 2014. I'm 23 now and had just moved to Las Vegas for work. I was renting a weekly apartment, the kind where you pay around $200 a week. One day, my mom called and mentioned that Jonathan's mom was living in Vegas too, and she might have rooms for rent. She gave me her number, which she got from Jonathan's grandmother. I texted her, and she agreed to meet up before deciding whether to rent me a room. Understandably, she wanted to see what kind of person I'd grown into. I was waiting outside a restaurant when I felt a tap on my shoulder. "My name?" I turned and was completely stunned. There she was, looking almost exactly like I remembered. Just a little older, around the eyes. She was about 5 feet 5 inches with long black hair, hazel eyes, full lips, and a body that was honestly unbelievable. Not bodybuilder level, but definitely that fit, curvy figure people associate with the phrase total bombshell. "You okay?" she asked. "Yeah, just wow. You look as good as you did back then," she blushed. "How would you remember?" "You were like 7. "I'm not 7 anymore," I said with a grin, but I left it at that. I wanted to earn that room first. Over lunch, we caught up about life, where we'd been, what we were doing. I shared how I ended up in Vegas. She shared her story too. The whole time I couldn't help stealing glances. Between the mirror on the wall beside us and the way her curves pressed against her clothes, my imagination was definitely active. She gave me the key and the address, said to pick any of the 3 spare rooms and move in while she was at work. I did just that and had a few hours alone in the house. I'm not gonna lie, I definitely let my imagination get the best of me. She was around 40 and still looked more incredible than most women I'd ever been with. About a week later, she came home and suggested we order pizza to celebrate being roommates. We hung out, talked, and shared some drinks. At some point, still a little fuzzy on when, she sat next to me and mentioned I'd grown into a handsome man. She asked how many girlfriends I'd had. I told her none. Then she placed a hand on my leg and asked if I could grab more drinks while she looked something up on her phone. I went to the fridge, grabbed 2, and handed one to her. She tapped her phone and showed me a photo, one of herself, very suggestive, with just enough covered to keep it mysterious. "What do you think?" she asked. I didn't answer with words. I kissed her, hard. She responded immediately, wrapping her arms around my neck and pulling me close. One hand was on her cheek, the other on her waist, and soon both of mine were gripping her sides, drawing her against me. I could feel her body press into mine with every move. She started to ask, "Should we move?" But I didn't let her finish. I lifted her up and sat her on the counter. She had changed into a loose tank top and tights when she got home, and it didn't take long for those tights to come off. That's when I noticed. She wasn't wearing anything underneath. I placed my hand on her inner thigh and began tracing slow, deliberate circles. She reacted quickly, gasping, grabbing the edge of the counter, letting her head tilt back. I lowered myself between her legs, determined to show her what I could do, even if I was still learning. She guided me subtly with hands in my hair and soft whispers. I focused on her every breath, every motion, tuning in completely. She gasped louder, and I felt her body begin to tense. "Come here, come here," she said. I adjusted my technique as best I could, and suddenly she let out a breath that nearly made me lose control. Moments later, she cried out, and what happened next honestly caught me off guard. She let go completely, and it was intense, the kind of reaction that makes you feel like you just won the lottery. I was soaked, but all I could think was how incredible it was to see her so unguarded and free. She slid off the counter, catching her breath. I went in for a kiss, sharing the moment with her, but she gently stopped me. Looking around at the mess, drinks knocked over, the floor a disaster, she said, "I need to clean this up. I can't leave it like this." I offered to help, saying, "We made the mess together, remember?" But she was already gathering supplies. I went to shower, still caught in a mix of confusion and adrenaline. I hadn't even made it to the next step. No shirt off, no closeness beyond what had just happened. But I felt like I'd been hit with an emotional wave. I finished up, changed, and peeked into the kitchen. It was spotless. Her bedroom door was closed. I went to my room and lay in bed, staring at the ceiling, the buzz from earlier now completely gone. I didn't know what to make of it. One minute we were completely lost in each other. The next she was back to routine, as if it hadn't happened. Story 8. In my circle of friends, I was known as the fifth wheel. Everyone else was either married or engaged, and I never really had the time to devote to a relationship, let alone a marriage. I worked 80 hours a week between 2 jobs, and my social life mainly consisted of one-night stands, a few casual arrangements, and the occasional paid encounter. A few of the guys in the group were jealous because, in their eyes, I was having fun with lots of women. What they didn't know was that I was jealous of them for having someone to come home to, someone to wake up next to every morning. 1/4 of July, my friend Tony and his wife Amanda were hosting a party. Everyone in our group was coming. There would be drinks, barbecue, the pool, and the wives, who, honestly, seemed like they were in competition to see who could wear the smallest two-piece. It wasn't lost on me. I was definitely distracted. I'm pretty sure some of the other guys were too. Now, one of the couples, Brent and Robin, were having a rough patch. Apparently, Brent had been struggling with performance lately. How, I'm not sure, considering his wife looked like a clone of Kate Upton. Blonde hair, a curvy figure, and confidence that turned heads. Robin was inside talking with the other women, while Brent was outside. I was crouched behind the TV trying to fix Tony's universal remote system and overheard their conversation, probably because they didn't know I was back there. Robin joked that if things didn't improve soon, she might have to explore other options. Now, I get the bro code, I do, but Robin was practically flawless, and it had been a dry spell for me. When I finally emerged to work on the remote, Robin and some of the women came into the room to watch something. Robin sat down right in front of me, wearing tiny shorts that barely covered anything, and that's when I noticed she wasn't wearing anything underneath. Her top wasn't doing much either. It was a lot to process. I finished setting up the remote and tossed it to the hostess. Then Robin glanced over her shoulder and winked at me. My brain short-circuited. That wink made it clear. She was doing this on purpose. As I stood, I realized I was visibly affected. Robin leaned in and whispered, "If you want help with that, just say the word." I tried to escape to the bathroom for a quick cool down. What I didn't expect was for Robin to follow me. As I was closing the door, she slipped in and locked it behind her. We didn't even speak. Robin untied her top and slipped out of her shorts in one swift move, revealing everything. "Robin, I don't think this is a good idea. What if Brent finds out?" I said. "I'm not planning on telling him," she replied. "Now, are you interested or not? Because if not, I'll find someone else who is." That flipped a switch in me. I pulled off my shirt and swim trunks and stepped toward her. We met halfway in a kiss that made everything else disappear. It was electric. Her hands were all over me, and mine were exploring every curve of hers. I lifted her onto the counter and gave her my full attention. Let's just say I got very familiar with every inch of her body, and she was incredibly responsive. She gasped and gripped the edges of the counter as I did everything I could to please her. As things escalated, she tensed, bit her lip, and tried to stay quiet. But I realized she had a very powerful reaction, the kind that requires a towel. I kept going, encouraging every breath, every whisper, every movement. I didn't know this side of her. She was expressive, wild, and seemed completely lost in the moment. Eventually, she caught her breath and pulled herself off the counter, only to turn around and lean back over it. "I want you now," she said quietly. "And don't stop until you're completely done." I stepped in behind her and everything fit together effortlessly. She was already beyond ready, and I tried to keep things controlled, avoiding too much noise, keeping our movements discreet. But her reactions made that difficult. She shook, clenched, and braced herself as she built toward a third intense peak. And when it hit, I followed. It was overwhelming. Her body, the sounds, the intensity. We both froze in the aftermath. But Robin wasn't done. She dropped to her knees, giving me a look that made it clear she wanted round two. And that's exactly what she got. She climbed back onto the counter, pulled me close again, and whispered, "One more time, and next time, you get something extra." That was all the motivation I needed. I started again, focused and determined to make her finish one more time. It didn't take long. Her reactions were almost immediate, and I made sure to intensify things in all the right ways. The counter was soaked. She was gripping me tightly, and we both reached the end again, just as there was a knock on the door. It was Brent. Robin calmly composed herself and said, "I'm okay. Just got a little sick. I'll be out soon." Somehow, she pulled it off without sounding suspicious. As his footsteps faded, she leaned in and kissed me, slow, deep, and with a look that said she didn't regret any of it. Then she cleaned up, used a towel, and casually pulled out a bikini bottom she hadn't been wearing earlier. She left first, and I took a moment to clean everything up, spray half a can of air freshener, and sneak the towel into the laundry. As I tossed the towel in, Amanda, Tony's wife, snuck up behind me and poked me in the ribs, making me jump. "I won't tell Brent what just happened," she said, "if you do to me what you just did to Robin." I was speechless, she smirked. "Who do you think told Robin to flash you in the first place?" Then she kissed me, slow and lingering. "I'll give you a little time to recover," she added. "Then I'm coming to collect." Just like that, I went from fifth wheel to something else entirely. This was going to be a 4th of July to remember. Story 9. I'm 28, was a single dad after my wife passed away in a car accident. Life was a little chaotic, but I managed to keep things together for my son. Then one Sunday morning, everything changed. That's when I met Karen, F20, a beautiful, 5'5" blonde who had just started attending our local church. Karen came from a very devout family, traditional values, no intimacy before marriage. I wasn't quite as strict, and as it turned out, neither was she. From the beginning, our connection was intense, and our relationship quickly became both emotional and physical, though behind closed doors. About 4 months into dating, after plenty of phone and video calls with her family, they wanted to meet me. The week before we were supposed to visit, Karen decided to pause all physical activity between us. She didn't want any signs of closeness showing when we got there. Needless to say, by the time we made the drive up to visit, I was restless. We dropped my son off at my parents' and made the 3-hour drive north. When we arrived, her parents were incredibly welcoming. Her father shared his best scotch with me, and her mother was an amazing cook. Then there was her sister, Piper, F23, a striking woman with sandy blonde hair and a subtle, almost hypnotic charm. Her husband was there too, but every time we were alone, Piper was very attentive. Eye contact, light touches, subtle smiles. On the first night, her parents showed me to a guest suite in the basement. They emphasized that in their house, unmarried men and women didn't share beds. I nodded respectfully, knowing full well how different things had already been behind closed doors. The room was warm, so I went to bed as comfortably as possible. I thought about relieving some tension, but decided it wasn't the right thing to do in someone else's home. 10 minutes later, the door creaked open, and there was Karen. She didn't say a word, just made her way to me and let her actions speak for themselves. After nearly a week without any kind of physical intimacy, my body reacted quickly. But just before I reached the point of no return, Karen stopped. Confused, I asked what was going on. "I need to ask you something," she said. "Would you be willing to help Piper have a child?" I was stunned. Karen explained that her parents had been pressuring Piper and her husband to start a family, but there were complications. Piper's husband wasn't able to fulfill that dream, and apparently Karen had come up with a solution. I don't even remember if I said yes. Things escalated quickly. Piper entered the room, and before I knew it, the two of them were taking turns making sure I was on edge, but not letting me finish. When I finally made it clear that I couldn't hold back anymore, Karen stepped back and Piper moved forward. Everything that happened next was a blur of emotion, surprise, and instinct. For the rest of that weekend, things continued in private. Piper and I had more than a few moments together, completely hidden from the rest of the family. No one suspected a thing. When it came time to leave, her father handed me a rare bottle of whiskey and called me my son. Her mother packed us enough food to feed a dozen people. It felt like a warm send-off. Nothing about their behavior hinted that they knew anything. A few weeks later, Karen told me Piper was pregnant. That same night, she invited me over and asked for us to be together again, fully this time. Afterwards, she got dressed, looked at me, and calmly said, "Don't ever reach out to Piper or the child." Then she left, just like that. I haven't seen her at church since. It's been 3 years since Karen walked out of my life. I've never contacted her or anyone from her family. I've kept to myself, focused on my son and work. But today, while picking up my son from school, my phone rang. It was Karen. She sounded calm, maybe even warm. She invited me and my son to visit her family's home for the weekend. I have no idea what to expect. Story 10. I live in a medium-sized town, about 30,000 people, where you tend to run into people from your past fairly often. This story starts with one such person, my high school teacher. Now, yes, there's a bit of an age difference, about a decade, but we were both adults by the time anything happened. And honestly, I don't really think about the gap that much. It started out pretty normal. While I was in college, I reached out to her for a reference check for a part-time job at a coffee shop. She responded saying I could use her as a reference and even gave me her personal number since it wasn't technically a school matter anymore. I sent her a quick text so she'd have my contact info too. About a week later, she let me know the coffee shop had called and that she'd given me a great reference. We chatted a little about school and work. A few days later, I thought I saw her in the drive-thru while I was working, so I sent a quick text. She confirmed it had been her, and then she asked for a picture of me in my uniform. I thought it was a little unusual, but I sent one anyway. Her response, "You look so cute in it." Again, I brushed it off, but it did seem a bit flirty. Later that evening, she sent me a message congratulating me on my first day. I thanked her and mentioned I was going to shower and head to bed soon. Her reply, "Have fun." That stuck in my head a little longer than it probably should have. Days later, she came into the shop again, and I upgraded her drink for free. I even wrote a little message on her cup. Later, I got a text. "Love the message and thanks for the large drink. I owe you one." I told her it was the least I could do. She responded with, "You're so sweet." A week after that, she messaged me about some computer issues. Since I'm studying computer science, I tried helping via text and FaceTime. But after about 30 minutes, she asked if I could just come over and take a look in person. That's when I realized she only lived a few blocks away. When I got to her place, she took me to her office. I got to work diagnosing the problem. Turns out it was a simple driver issue with her sound card. She sat beside me chatting while I worked. Strangely, I got a bit flustered. I wasn't even thinking about anything like that. But when I stood up to leave, I noticed I'd clearly been more affected than I thought. She gave me a hug on my way out. 2 days later, she texted, "You really like fixing computers, huh?" I asked what she meant, and she responded, "Well, I hugged you and noticed something." Cue full body embarrassment. I apologized, saying I hadn't meant anything by it. She assured me it was fine and that she wasn't offended. The next day, she followed up, "Seriously, don't feel bad. My computer works perfectly now." We exchanged a few messages, and she asked if I could look at her iPad. It was acting up. I agreed to swing by again, this time trying to keep things under control. Before I left, I even, well, prepared to avoid any awkwardness. She greeted me with a joke about me not stabbing her this time, and I immediately turned red again. We laughed it off. I diagnosed the issue. It was a faulty power brick, and replaced it with a spare I had in my backpack. As I was getting ready to leave, she hugged me again and joked, "There you go again." And without thinking, I blurted out, "I even tried to, you know, avoid that happening this time." She laughed, hard. "You really do like computers," she said. I gave a sheepish laugh and thanked her again before heading home. That night, I received a text and a photo. It was the same photo that had been on her iPad background, a vacation selfie that had caught my attention earlier. The message read, "I feel bad. Here's my apology. Have fun." At that point, it was pretty clear where this was heading. I replied with a, "Damn, thanks, this helps a lot." And she responded, "My pleasure." A few days later, she texted again, "Sorry, last time I promise. Can you come help again? My computer's doing the same thing." I agreed, and her next message made me turn red all over again. "Don't worry about prepping first this time, you weirdo." I got to her place, fixed the issue, and just as I was finishing, she said, "I want to show you something." She pulled up a photo album from her vacation and started scrolling through. A few scenic shots, some casual photos, and then a series of bikini and personal mirror selfies. She explained the story behind each one casually, like it was no big deal. At this point, I couldn't hide my reaction. She noticed. I reached out, took her hand, and gently placed it where all the tension was. She laughed and said, "Not so fast. Let me see it." Nervously, I complied. She looked for a moment and then simply said, "Go ahead." Shocked but too worked up to think, I followed her instructions. She watched, giving little smiles and encouraging words. Eventually, she told me to let her know when I was close, and when I did, she knelt down in front of me. Afterward, we both laughed a little, cleaned up, and she gave me another hug. The next night, I got another message. "I'm starting to have a lot of tech issues." I replied, "I can fix that," to which she responded with a suggestive photo and a, "Want to come over again?" We've seen each other about 6 times now. Things have slowly escalated, and the last time, we were both equally involved. We've started exchanging photos and messages more often, and honestly, it's become something I think about all the time. It started with a reference check. Now I'm not just the tech support. Story 11. This winter, some of my coworkers started planning an unofficial ski trip for the more experienced skiers at our marketing agency. I had only joined a few months earlier, straight out of college, so I was one of the youngest in the office. 23, tall, and constantly teased for being the baby of the group. There also aren't a lot of guys in marketing, so I get some strange attention now and then. When about a dozen of us signed up for the trip, I figured it was a great chance to bond with everyone. Haley, one of my desk neighbors, was especially excited I was coming along. She even offered to drive me up herself. Haley is stunning. Long legs, copper red hair, and piercing green eyes. Her confidence is unmistakable, especially in the way she walks. After 10 years with the agency, she's earned a lot of respect. She's sharp, blunt, and carries herself like someone who always knows what she wants. When I first started, they sat me at the desk next to hers, and she was always warm and welcoming, maybe because she remembered what it was like to be the new kid. And yes, I definitely had a few daydreams, some about being with her, others about her being the one in charge. Still, I knew she was off limits. She was older, a mentor figure, and in a relationship with a woman. Her girlfriend Cassie was just as gorgeous as she was. I had met her before at a happy hour. Black hair, icy blue eyes, effortlessly cool. Together, they were a power couple. Haley picked me up after work, and Cassie was in the passenger seat. She gave a celebratory shout when she saw I'd brought a case of beer. The drive to the mountains was snowy but scenic, and everyone seemed relaxed and in good spirits. As we neared the resort, traffic came to a halt. "Probably an accident," I said from the back seat. "Happened to me once with my dad. We were stuck for hours." Without hesitating, Haley turned the car onto the shoulder. "We're not far from an exit. We'll find a hotel for the night." She drove confidently, even backing up a bit to reach the off-ramp. We got lucky. There was one room left at the nearest hotel, a king bed and a couch. "Perfect," Cassie said. "We'll take it." Snow was falling harder now, so we grabbed our bags and a few beers and headed in. Once we settled in, we changed into our sleep clothes. I wore shorts and a t-shirt. I'd packed light, so I didn't bother with underwear. When I came out of the bathroom, Cassie was already lounging on the bed in a crop top and rolled boxer shorts, her appearance casually bold. Her outfit revealed more than I expected, a soft, defined stomach and just a hint of underlayers. I regretted going commando almost immediately. Haley's outfit was more understated, an oversized shirt that still clung to her curves. As she sat down, I noticed she was only wearing lace underneath. I quickly took a seat before anything else became visible. We sat on the floor and started playing drinking games with cards. The atmosphere was light, fun, and surprisingly flirtatious. Haley and Cassie were affectionate with each other. Nothing wild, just casual kisses and playful teasing. But slowly the energy shifted. The flirtation spilled over onto me. Cassie would lick her lips while locking eyes with me, and Haley stroked my jaw once, calling me handsome when it was my turn to drink. As they kissed again during the game, Cassie lifted her shirt slightly mid-kiss, revealing more than just her intentions. I choked on my beer, sputtering a bit. Haley laughed, thinking I just had one too many. I tried to keep it cool, but the tension was getting to me. Cassie called for bedtime, and I nearly groaned in protest. My mind was racing, my body even more so. I debated sneaking into the bathroom to cool off in private. We all brushed our teeth together. Even in that simple moment, I found myself catching glimpses, Haley lifting her arm to brush, her shirt rising just enough to hint at more. Cassie suddenly said, "Don't worry about the couch. It's too uncomfortable. You can sleep with us." I glanced at Haley. She hesitated, but then shrugged. "Sure." We got into bed, me on the right, Haley on the left, Cassie eagerly claiming the middle. I planned to wait for them to fall asleep and then quietly step away. But then I heard it. The soft sound of kissing. I looked over to see Cassie facing away from me, Haley's hand caressing her cheek. It didn't stop there. They became more immersed in each other, and I found myself more and more aroused. Carefully, I slipped off my shorts under the covers, trying to stay quiet. I started touching myself discreetly, unable to resist. The rhythm of their kisses spurred me on. Then I felt something, Cassie's foot grazing my leg. Slowly it slid up until she brushed against me. My heart raced. She paused for a moment, then gently rested her toes beneath me. After a few more moments, Cassie shifted, pressing her back against me. Her skin was warm, smooth. My reaction was immediate. She adjusted, positioning herself so that I was nestled between her curves. I reached forward, cautiously placing my hand on her hip. Slowly I moved under her shirt, resting my hand against her. She let out a soft sound into Haley's mouth. Then, without warning, she took my hand and guided it under Haley's shirt as well. I was stunned. But there I was, caught in a dream I'd never expected to become reality. These two incredible women were making out in front of me. One of them was curled against me. The other had just accepted my touch. Cassie shifted again, letting me press against her fully. I moved with purpose now, carefully and slowly, letting the moment unfold. Cassie responded with quiet gasps. Haley noticed. She reached over Cassie, her leg finding mine, her foot grazing my side. There was no turning back. I took my time, savoring every second, matching their rhythm. Cassie moaned, her body pressed between ours. Haley kissed her harder. Cassie's breath quickened, her body reacting to every move. Eventually, when things calmed, I pulled back, breathless. Haley looked at me with those familiar, focused eyes, the same ones that made her such a force in the office. Her look said one thing clearly. It was her turn now. Story 12. Some years ago, I met a girl. Let's call her Kay. She had curly brown hair, a petite frame, and the kindest, most mesmerizing eyes I'd ever seen. It didn't take long before I developed a huge crush on her. We quickly became very close friends, spending almost all our time together. I eventually gathered the courage to confess my feelings for her. What I didn't expect was for her to reveal something deeply personal in return. She was gay. She told me that if things were different, she'd love to be my girlfriend. But she just didn't feel that way toward men. It was a bit hard to process at first, but after a few days, we moved past it. In fact, we became even closer. I was the first person she had ever confided in about her sexuality, and that brought a deep level of trust into our friendship. Eventually, she met someone, V. I remember the first time I saw her. Vi had a magnetic presence, curvy, confident, beautiful black hair, and a genuinely kind personality. Watching Kay be so happy in her relationship made me feel nothing but joy for her. They fit perfectly. Some years passed, and just a few weeks ago, Kay and V invited me over to their place. They had big news to share. They were planning to start a family. I was thrilled for them and offered to help however I could. That's when V asked if I truly meant it. Without hesitation, I said, "Of course." They explained they had decided they wanted to avoid the costs and formalities of a clinic. V and K had talked it through thoroughly, and both agreed they were comfortable conceiving naturally, with me. V is bisexual, and K, despite never being with a man before, said that I was the only one she would ever feel safe enough to do this with. We spent a long time talking through it. Boundaries, expectations, how everyone felt. Once we were all absolutely sure, K asked if we could begin. That night, we kept it respectful and focused. K laid back, while V stayed by her side, holding her hand. It was a strange but beautiful moment, built on trust, friendship, and a shared purpose. I tried to be as calm and composed as I could. When the moment came, everything aligned. It was emotional, vulnerable, and something I never thought I'd experience with Kay. Afterward, she softly thanked me. The next night, it was V's turn. She was more confident, more expressive. She guided the situation with ease, staying close to Kay while also staying present. The energy was different, but still grounded in trust. I couldn't help but admire the way they supported each other through it all. We kept going for just over a week, alternating days between Kay and V. It was organized, caring, and surprisingly harmonious. One night I gently asked if they'd be willing to help ease some of the tension I was feeling. V raised an eyebrow, but Kay looked over at her, then pulled her into a kiss. I stood there in awe, watching the intimacy they shared, kissing, touching, encouraging each other. Kay looked over at me, flushed and smiling. "Is this helping?" she asked playfully. It definitely was. Things slowly evolved. They began actively joining in, touching me, guiding me, helping me. V was the first to take initiative, followed later by Kay, who was shyer but just as sincere. V eventually took it further, showing Kay how to be more comfortable. By the end of the third week, Kay made a quiet suggestion. Instead of waiting until the last moment, maybe we could fully embrace the experience. That night, she held V's hand tightly while we were together. She didn't say much, but the way she looked at me said everything. There was trust, connection, and even some vulnerability. It felt surreal. After that, everything changed. It became our routine, each day with one of them. We stayed focused on the goal, but the moments became more meaningful, more connected. Then one day, V smiled and showed us her test result. It was positive. We all cried. It felt like the most human, emotional, and beautiful moment. Afterward, Kay and I continued until she too had a positive test. More tears, more hugs, more gratitude. Now we wait, excited, nervous, proud, and bonded forever by something much greater than any of us ever expected. Two amazing women, two lives on the way, and a story I'll never forget. Story 13. A few years back, I dated someone I'll call Alana for about 6 months. Just long enough for things to feel semi-serious. I even met her family. The relationship ended when I found out she cheated on me during a girls' weekend. A few mutual friends let it slip that she'd accepted a favor exchange from a guy known for selling her party substances. After I pressed her, she finally admitted she'd crossed a line. I had already been thinking of ending things due to other issues, but hearing that sealed the deal. She tried to salvage it with promises, offering to be more available, even suggesting things like threesomes. But I was done. Still, for a while, I regretted not giving myself one last emotionally charged farewell moment, just to release all the anger I felt. But I walked away instead. Flash forward about 4 years. It was a sunny Saturday afternoon at a local brewery when I ran into Emma, Alana's younger sister. Back when I was dating Alana, Emma had always stood out. She was more charismatic, more confident, and frankly, more attractive. They didn't get along well. Alana seemed to resent how Emma could light up a room. I always stayed respectful, but I won't lie. Emma had flirted with me plenty back then, and I remembered every time. That day at the brewery, she was clearly already a few drinks in. She greeted me with genuine excitement. She looked incredible. Athletic, glowing, dressed casually in fitted leggings and a crop.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Top. I bought her a drink and we caught up casually. I expected nothing to come of it. But after just one drink, she turned to me with a grin and asked a favor. Could I drive her back to her place so she could grab a charger? I agreed, figuring it'd be a quick errand. At her apartment, she invited me in. I hesitated for a beat but stepped inside. Then she looked at me in a way that needed no words. She pulled off her top slowly, eyes locked on mine, backing against the wall like it had all been planned. It all happened fast. The connection, the intensity, it was almost electric. It was more than just physical attraction. There was something raw and unspoken between us, like years of quiet tension had snapped into the open. We kissed, and she guided me, drawing me in close. Everything about the moment felt charged. Her voice, her movements, her energy. I couldn't tell where adrenaline stopped and desire began. We moved from one room to the next, barely pausing between. We didn't say much. Just quick glances, a few playful jabs. The occasional whispered comment that hinted at what was left unsaid, what her sister had thrown away, what I had been denied. But Alana's name never came up. We both knew, without saying, that this moment belonged to us. By the end of that hour, we had collapsed together, breathless, flushed, still tangled up. She teased me with compliments, laughed, and said I'd cleared her head in the best possible way. I was still catching my breath when she was pulling her shirt back on and brushing her hair out of her face. We headed back to the brewery. In the car, she asked me a few simple questions about my life now, where I worked, who I was seeing. I answered, still dazed, still processing what had just happened. She smiled the entire ride, glowing with that post-adventure energy. Before we parted, she leaned in and kissed me again. Slow, intentional. She whispered something bold in my ear and disappeared into the crowd. I walked back to my group, heart pounding, pulse still racing. I sat in the shade with a cold beer, trying to appear casual. My friends asked where I'd been. "Just had to take a call," I said. Across the yard, I spotted Emma. She was walking with her friends, laughing, radiant, and moving with a noticeable sway. And for the first time in a long while, I felt completely, deeply satisfied. Story 14. While traveling through Southeast Asia with my boyfriend, we met a German couple, Tim and Sophie. We hit it off immediately and ended up traveling together for a few days. It didn't take long before I noticed that Tim seemed to find me attractive, and I could tell my boyfriend had taken notice of Sophie too. To be fair, she was incredibly beautiful, tall, graceful, and with a magnetic energy. After a few days, my boyfriend told me that Tim had pulled him aside and asked if we'd be open to a couple swap. It wasn't something I had ever imagined for us, but I was intrigued. Tim was cute, tall, and confident. And surprisingly, the idea of watching my boyfriend be intimate with Sophie sparked a curious mix of excitement and jealousy in me. Eventually, we agreed. That evening, we went to Tim and Sophie's room, and things unfolded naturally. Tim and I gravitated toward each other, and so did my boyfriend and Sophie, right there on the same bed. Everything was new and intense. While Tim and I got close, I found myself stealing glances at the others. Watching my boyfriend with Sophie stirred something unexpected in me. He was doing things I recognized, things I loved, and it was clear Sophie enjoyed them too. I felt a mix of competitiveness and arousal. Tim, for all his confidence, didn't quite meet my expectations. He was enthusiastic, sure, but the connection didn't feel as intense. A few minutes in, he was already done, and I found myself simply watching the rest of the scene unfold. Meanwhile, Sophie and my boyfriend were completely absorbed in each other. The chemistry between them was undeniable. He was attentive, confident, and clearly knew how to read her reactions. She was vocal, reactive, and absolutely in the moment. Watching them together stirred something I hadn't anticipated, an odd but overwhelming sense of pride. Afterward, my boyfriend and I returned to our room, and I couldn't stop thinking about what I'd just seen. The comparison between my time with Tim and what I witnessed with Sophie was night and day. The intensity, the connection, the responsiveness, it was clear. I wanted that too, and I got it. The next day, while the guys were out swimming, Sophie confided in me. She raved about the experience and asked if we could repeat it. She spoke candidly about how incredible she thought the connection was, even compared to her own relationship with Tim. I was surprised, but also a bit flattered.